Good afternoon. This is Pierce Devlin, and to my right is Stephen Honig.
Hello.
And you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We got some new tracks again. We got some soccer to talk about. There was an international friendlies going on, and also some qualifications.
Oh yeah, big weekend.
But first, we're going to start with a public service announcement.
Oh, just get it out of the way.
If we can find it.
What?
Do you want to do it?
Freaking reading. That wasn't a curse word. I will not be held accountable for that.
Don't worry, you didn't curse.
Your weekly public talking service.
Talking thing. Service.
We're going to pick a short one per usual.
Just do that one.
Oh, man.
We're on air.
Okay, wait. All right, I'll just... this is such a dark
one. Do it!
One. Don't drink and drive. On February 9, 2014, a drunk driver headed the wrong way down a Southern California freeway, crashed, and killed six people, including her own sister. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about it. Getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. A public servant's message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
That was kind of dark.
I'm so sorry to have killed
the
mood.
It's all right. The mood wasn't really that strong.
Wow. Thanks. I thought we had a chemistry going. Okay.
We will.
Oh, I should have read this one. It goes free vegetarian starter kit.
The listeners don't get to have two public service announcements, though.
No. I'll save that one for next time. You're going to put a note to do the vegetarian one?
Just wrote it down.
Okay, good. All right. What am I pulling up right now?
Well, I think we should start talking about the international games that were going on this past weekend. We had World Cup qualifiers as well as international friendlies, including some good and crucial games by the United States. There were some crucial games that were flopped by the Netherlands and Argentina.
Tanzania played Burundi.
That's crazy. How'd they do?
2-1 Tanzania.
I should have known.
Is that an upset?
No.
Burundi
is much smaller, so I would imagine. All right, but anyway.
All right, there's so much to unpack here. Where should I begin?
I would like to start personally with the Ireland-Wales game, which is only applies to my interest, really. But I'm sure you're interested as well. The game ended 0-0, but the biggest part about the game was in the 80th minute. The best Irish player, arguably one of the best of all time, completely broke his leg. Seamus Coleman got a terrible tackle by Neil Taylor, who is a bad defender on Aston Villa, studs up, going for a 50-50 ball right into and breaking his double fracture in his leg. He's out for the rest of the...
So what was that official diagnosis? By the way, there were games...
Fractured tibia and fibula, or it could be tibula and fibula. I always mix them up. He has a double fracture.
There were games, by the way, Tuesday, because Ireland played again.
Yeah, Ireland played again in a friendly. I don't know why they do friendlies right after, but they had a friendly against Iceland.
They lost.
Yeah, which they played a lot of younger prospects and players in the second division of England. But anyway.
When was the Ireland game again?
Against Wales.
Yeah.
It must have been, it was last week. It was either during the weekend or last week. But anyway, it was a crucial game. Ireland was in first place during it, so they wanted to win. They did okay. They shut down Gareth Bale. We lost Seamus Coleman, our captain.
That's not good.
And he's done for 2017. And obviously, leg breaks are a huge scare. They always have a bad negative impact on people's careers.
Yeah.
You can look at Luke Shaw, who has not made it back into the Man United starting lineup, even though he's healthy.
It only happens
a few times to come back really strong. And Seamus Coleman is incredible.
Is he on Everton?
Yeah. He's one of the best right backs in the Premier League.
Yeah,
let alone
good.
He's best on Ireland. But yeah, so that sucked. We could also talk about the United States. They had two crucial games this past week. Because the United States, they were in the bottom of their group. They started out, that's why they fired Klinsmann.
Right.
They lost to Costa Rica, big, 4-0, lost to Trinidad.
I mean, that loss is bad. The Costa Rica loss, fine. The Trinidad loss.
But they lost 4-0 to Costa Rica.
Yeah, that's sloppy.
So, yeah, you can argue the fact that the United States is not dominating that group during qualifications.
Right.
Is a big problem. However, they don't have to do that well. Right now, they're okay. They're still in the same position to qualify. However, they're just not looking dominant, which is always annoying. So, United States, huge win against Honduras, I believe. I think it was 6-0. Like, it was ridiculous.
A blowout.
And then recently they just tied Panama 1-1.
That's so bad.
Yeah. But technically they don't have to worry. But it's still not good.
What are they in their U.S. qualifying group?
United States, I think, are in 4th out of 6th, but they're less than halfway through. So they have another 6 games to play, and the United States can easily dominate. But the problem is they keep playing it too close. Like, there's no reason Mexico and United States aren't just winning every single game. And the only competition should be against Mexico, realistically.
Right.
But the big standpoint out of this was two things. Dempsey came back after having heart problems with huge goals. Like, he scored 4 goals in 2 games.
Yeah.
And Pulisic is the best player on the United States, arguably. That's my hot take.
Really?
Best player. He was the best during those
quickly.
Games.
Yeah. What happened to Julian Green, by the way?
We talked about this last show.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, he's on Freiburg. I think we figured out.
What's his state in terms of Team USA?
He's not. Well, I mean, he's in contention, but he's not doing that well on his team.
No.
So he's not up there with number one choices. But my hot take is that Pulisic, best player on the field, he had the best performance during those games. And we've never seen someone this good. Like, yeah. In 2 years, Pulisic could be the greatest player on the American national, like, from America of all time. He's just phenomenal statistics, phenomenal, like, just impact on the field.
Yeah.
And he's a kid. He's younger than us. He's pretty skinny. He's quick. But, like, he had a huge assist to Dempsey in the Panama game.
I mean, by the way, the United States is in first in Group C.
Oh, that's the Gold Cup I think you're looking at.
Oh, really?
That's going to be in the summer. Are you talking about, does that say like zero games or?
No.
That was probably before. That was to qualify for the final round of World Cup qualifiers.
Got it.
So now there are 6 teams fighting for 3 spots in the World Cup.
And what are they currently, third?
I believe
they're
in
fourth. They're in fourth. It's right here, yeah.
They have 1 win, 2 losses, 1 tie.
And how many more games are left?
6. They played 4.
So 2.
No, they have another. They play 10 games. That's why the United States doesn't have to worry. But the fact that they are in fourth is just sad. It's
yeah, like, I don't know. It's not that great because Mexico and Costa Rica are in.
They're doing well. Yeah,
I mean they're gonna qualify.
Mexico is looking like they're gonna win the group, no problem.
Yeah,
the United States are probably
there.
And then, like you said, it's okay to lose to Costa Rica because Costa Rica has done well. But I think Costa Rica and United States will probably fight for the second place. But yeah, it's kind of
We're a win behind. We're like a whole win behind Costa Rica.
Yeah,
so it's 3 for a win. So.
It's disconcerting because now they have to like. There's no reason to worry.
Yeah.
But
so Argentina.
Yeah, there are some teams that do have to worry big time.
Oh God, if Argentina doesn't go to the World Cup,
that's crazy. Messi is suspended for I believe like 4 games for swearing at the ref.
Back of the ref.
That's nuts. Argentina's not looking good.
Nope.
Brazil's looking good, though.
Brazil's looking... By the way, FIFA rankings, I believe Brazil's 2nd in the world.
That's awesome. Where's France, by the way?
3.
That's also cool.
Hold on. FIFA world rankings, are you ready?
What do you got? Who's number 1?
Argentina.
Who's number 1?
Yeah.
They're going to go down.
Argentina, Brazil, Germany. Oh, my God. France is 6th. Chile is 4th.
That's cool.
Belgium is 5th. They literally just lost to Russia. 2-0.
Russia.
Which is horrible.
Yeah, that's
France
bad.
France is 6th.
All right.
United States not even in the top
30?
20.
Hold Rankings on. Are fun to look at. But
USA is 30. Dude.
Yeah. They're fun to look at. But in reality, it's so subjective. Just
no,
like
they're
Russia.
Not. They're not accurate at
yeah.
all.
Yeah, but it's fun to see. It's fun to like. You can get some sense of pride if your country randomly goes up 20 spots. Bosnia, I remember, was in like the top 20 for a good amount of time. That's obviously exciting for a country like Bosnia. Ireland was in the top 20 at one point. It was
Bosnia's
really funny.
Bosnia's 29, yeah. Ireland's not bad. 24.
Yeah, because they're doing well for World Cup qualifying.
I mean, England is 14. Italy is 15. That's bad.
Where's Netherlands? They must be in like the 20s.
I believe they're probably even worse. Hold on.
Speaking of problems, Netherlands are probably not going to qualify for the World Cup.
21st.
Isn't that... That's nuts.
Egypt and Costa Rica and Peru are better than the Netherlands.
Technically. Isn't that weird to think?
Yeah. I think the team...
Egypt.
I think one of the most underrated teams, by the way, that should be in the top... Should be probably 10th. Like, in my opinion, if this team played... if this team played Colombia, for example, or Chile, they'd win, is Croatia.
Really?
Yeah.
Like right now?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that because of the players that they have? Like,
technically,
their arsenal?
Because of their arsenal, yeah.
Because they do have a really stacked team.
They're pretty
It's surprising.
Stacked.
Their midfield.
They're probably the best midfield in all the teams.
No, they don't. Come on.
Okay.
It's gotta be France or Belgium or something.
France. All right. Give me the two holding midfielders
for France.
Matuidi.
I can think of three: Matuidi, Pogba, and Kante.
Okay, yeah, that's the best.
This is so good.
Yeah.
And then their wingers. Oh my God, they have so many wingers.
France. I mean, I'm surprised that France is. So, for example, Belgium is ranked higher than France, but Belgium's. I mean, Belgium is the best team on paper, but they are like, it's not me. Like, they're not as good in game time performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to Russia.
They need a tiny bit more time. I think this World Cup is where they should flourish, because their potential has been building up before the last Euros.
And or they tied Russia, actually.
Oh, okay.
But still, I mean, like, their potential.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, like, after this qualification round, when the World Cup comes, they should be top two or third choice to win the entire World Cup, you know? Funny enough, Schweinsteiger he arrived in the MLS for the Chicago Fire. Did you see the interview he had?
No.
Speaking of World Cup.
Oh my God.
Interviewer asks, do you think you have what it takes to bring a World Cup to Chicago or take the Chicago Fire to the World Cup? And it looked like his reaction was like, is my English wrong? He was like looking at people around him, whispering to people.
I don't understand the question. He could take Chicago Fire to the World
Cup. Exactly. And then finally the sporting director was like, I'll answer. I think what you mean is the MLS Cup, because we don't compete for the World Cup. But yes, we would like to bring home a cup. And the guy actually ended up saying, let me clarify. Do you think you can take Chicago Fire to the World Cup?
Oh my God.
Like, he clarified and said World Cup. It was very funny.
And then they were like, no.
It's cringeworthy, man. I totally understand why people rip on the MLS because of stuff like that. It's right. So easy to just associate that with the MLS.
100% lost his job.
Yeah.
He lost his job.
And it's so... And then Chicago Fire posted a really funny tweet, hashtag road to Russia, like 2018.
Oh my goodness.
With like them training.
Was this like funny. An ESPN commentator? I did not realize that Bastian Schweinsteiger is married to Anna Ivanovic.
Is that a star? Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
I was going to say, is that Ivanovic, like, your Chelsea star?
No. I can't believe that he's on Chicago Fire.
Yeah. Chicago was in last place, too, last year.
I mean, he'll be the best player in the MLS. He will be the best player in the MLS. No?
Still think Giovinco is better.
Than Bastian Schweinsteiger?
Yeah. No, you're thinking career-wise, obviously, Schweinsteiger. But you have to think about right now. Like... Giovinco is a stud, unbelievable stats, because he's a scoring and assisting with crazy numbers. Schweinsteiger has been off the grid for a couple of years. Well, so, I mean, we're going to have to see him play in the MLS, but I still think Giovinco is the best player in the MLS right now.
I think Schweinsteiger has been out for like a year, maybe, off for like a year or two.
Yeah, but Giovinco, all right, in FIFA terms, I think Schweinsteiger is like an 80, Giovinco is like an 82.
But it's crazy to me. I would not... Okay, let's debate right now the quality of Schweinsteiger's career. He's 32, and already he's, like, sticking a fork in it. I mean, when you go to the MLS, you stick a fork in it, you know? Sorry. No offense.
No, it's true, but the process is changing a tiny bit.
But it's crazy to me. Like, Schweinsteiger, 3 years ago, was the best midfielder. Four years ago, the best midfielder in the world.
Like, with Pirlo, even... He was starting for Juventus in the Champions League final. Next year, I think he goes to NYC.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're going to have to see him play, honestly.
But, like, is he the same Schweinsteiger that was on Munich? No.
Of course not.
Is he the same Schweinsteiger that was on Manchester United for his first year?
Yeah, I think he is.
But that Schweinsteiger was the same Schweinsteiger as on Munich. Like, he was good.
He's just missing that, like...
Speed?
He's just missing that, like... It's the same thing that's happening with Rooney.
I feel
it's hard
shocked.
To explain.
No, but Rooney deserves to go down now. Like, Rooney's been playing in the Premier League for more than 10 years.
Well, Schweinsteiger has been playing elite soccer for 10 years, too. That's why he deserves to go to the MLS. It's not an insult.
I don't think his career has been... He was on the Munich A team.
And it was amazing, yeah.
Wait a minute. What year are we in? Oh, yeah, he's had a long career. 2002.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, he's adding on to the typical MLS agenda, which is sign players who were good 5 or 10 years ago. But
I mean, I think he'll be the best player. One of the top three players in the MLS.
We'll see. Yeah, it's going to be hard for him to be the best also because Chicago was a struggling team last year. But this year they have a very... They're not... The thing about the MLS is it is American League. So last place last year means you can get in first place this year.
Right. Money isn't as, like, tight.
Yeah. Like, the 49ers, for instance, were NFC champions, and then a couple years later, like 2-14.
Right, where Chelsea.
It only happens in rarities, like with your terrible team, Chelsea. But anyway.
Precise.
Yeah, so Chicago got 3 new pickups in the midfield: Dax McCarty, Red Bulls captain, Janino, LA Galaxy legend, and then obviously Schweinsteiger. So they're going to do well. So they're going to make the playoffs.
They're going to be good.
Yeah. Still think Giovinco's better, though. Giovinco's amazing.
By the way, Premier League. Manchester United has played 27 games.
Mm-hmm.
And is in fifth place.
Oh, are you looking at... Yeah, the team... Who's in front of them? Liverpool with 29
Liverpool
games?
Liverpool has 29 games.
Oh, yeah.
So you know you're...
Here we go.
Champions League.
Champions!
Yeah.
Champions!
I think you'll be... Because...
Here's comes.
If you win, you're only two... You're in fourth and 2 points behind City with the same amount of games, which is like... You play City, you win, that's it.
This is where your hot take is coming in.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
The one I'm agreeing with.
United.
Second place, second baby. Place. Second place.
I think we're going to see like the collapse of Tottenham again.
No, I think they're so good, though.
I think they're good. They just
for no like, reason. I mean, there's reasons, but there's no reason for them to be in second.
And then, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea didn't lose another game this season. Honestly, draws or wins, right?
Yeah. The next question, honestly, is just how are they going to do in the Champions League?
Chelsea?
It
depends on N'Golo Kante staying or not.
He's going to stay. Where is he?
You don't be so sure. Look at this.
Why would he leave something so strong? They are unstoppable. This is like one of the strongest teams we've seen in a while. I honestly have to agree. I just have to believe the fact that they are one of the strongest teams.
They can win the Champions League. Let's just be completely frank.
Yeah.
That this team. So Arsenal was trying to get N'Golo Kante. Is currently trying to get N'Golo Kante. There's no chance he's leaving.
I just can't imagine him. If he's leaving, he's going to either Real Madrid or Bayern.
Real Madrid is trying to get N'Golo Kante.
Or like a swap with like Rakitic at Barcelona or something.
It was Real Madrid and Arsenal.
Okay. Well, he'd go to Madrid if anything.
I mean, I don't see why Madrid needs another midfielder.
Yeah, because Kroos and Modric are
the best two.
I would say that,
you know, Modric is the best midfielder in the world.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
That's
your hot take because you're a big Modric fan, but
yeah, but I mean, like the stats really like support that. Last three seasons, team of the year. No other midfielder was team of the year all three seasons.
That's fair. Iniesta's not top. I don't think he's.
The best. Iniesta's great, but he's not the best. He's not
anymore.
He's not. Yeah, he was the best. I mean, he was amazing. I think in form, the three best midfielders are N'Golo Kante.
Mm-hmm.
Modric and N'Golan
on Roma. It's hard to debate this because you look at the criteria and I think you need to have like incredible team stats as your midfielder, you know what I mean? It's hard to judge Pogba as one of the best because Man United have been in sixth place for months and they haven't done anything significant.
N'Golan 87 FIFA Ultimate Team right
now. Yeah, I still say Pogba's better than N'Golan. And I could say Vidal is probably better
than N'Golan. I think N'Golan is better than Vidal. I think that Vidal was better last year, but I think N'Golan is like Vidal, the most Vidal-type player, and is actually better than Vidal.
Okay.
They're the same type of player, exactly.
Yeah, really defensive and
super aggressive.
Not afraid to go into
really
the tackle.
Really fast, yeah. Really
but
fast.
So good.
Box to box. Box to box.
80 everything on FIFA.
Yeah, 80 everything. Like, consistent. Like, Vidal's... I would say Pogba's the most box-to-box player.
But he's less defensive.
He likes to flare. But he'll run box-to-box just for the sake of running. Like, Vidal's the... I don't know. Kante's really box-to-box, too.
Yeah, Kante's...
And Modric's really... Modric is...
Yeah, that's... They're, like, the most... They're, like, the greatest players to like. The commitment to be
so
able to do everything.
Yeah, it's so easy to like Luka Modric.
Yeah.
He's just good at everything.
I agree with you with the Luka.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
would say, anyways, back to who's the best international team in the world?
Best international team in the world? right now?
Yeah.
According, like, are you talking about? Let's Pigeon. Just figure it out. Arsenal or actually like their performances?
Oh, international, back to world.
No, I'm saying like their arsenal on their team or like their actual performances.
Performance.
I think France and Germany are the best.
I say Germany is the best.
Yeah. I'd say Germany is probably the best.
Germany is the best. Spain's been playing quite well lately.
Yeah, that's
they're
a little comeback.
They're getting stuff together. Comeback. And they're surging. How good is Sergio Ramos right now? I hate him.
I know, but you can't say he's not one of the best. He's easily top three.
He's the best. He's in the best form.
Yeah.
If we're playing the aliens tomorrow and I have to pick my captain defender, then I'm picking him. All right, we should probably go to music.
Let's go to music. We have new tracks again.
Oh, wait. Should I pull up the Kendrick song?
Yeah, but we're going to play that later. So we've been doing this new thing, I guess, where we're playing new songs that are coming out and just talking about them. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. Maybe play a couple of our personal favorites at the end. But the first track that we're going to play is by an artist that I've been following, and he's sort of on the rise. He's an Icelandic singer. Do you remember me talking to you about Ástur?
No. Sorry.
It's okay. Ástur is like, I would say, the most equivalent to like a Bon Iver. So kind of like folk and electronic mixed. But he made an album a little bit back, and he just released a single. It sounds pretty interesting because folk and electronic combined is a very unique sound, and he does a very good job, but it does sound kind of like Bon Iver. But let's see what you think. That was Stardust by Ostia. So, oh.
I've put Steven asleep for the first time. That's impressive. Usually you put me to sleep with some of those choices. But, like, the funny thing is most of his songs sound more mellow than that one. That was more upbeat.
Honestly, I just was, like, zoned out. It was good. It was, like, good elevator music, you know?
Speaking of elevator music, Drake's new playlist / album.
Ah, roasted!
Which is funny because one of the only songs I liked on it is literally elevator music. The thing to do on radio is not say the name of the song, but the song has the name of a fruit in it, and it's very passionate.
Passionate.
So that song, the beat...
Passion fruit.
The song, the beat, is so monotonous and calm and elevator background study-ish. It shouldn't work, but it does, which is why I'm like intrigued to play the song. Did you like Passion Fruit? I forget.
I did.
Isn't it weird how it works?
Second best song on a mediocre album.
Yeah, it was... The thing about Drake's... it's called a playlist, so we're going to call it a playlist. Drake's playlist... It wasn't strong at all. It really wasn't, but I think it was smart for him to release it. He knew, like, what audience he was targeting.
It'll be canonized. It'll be like every other Drake album. He's like, okay, it's weird when we talk about Drake because, like, I don't consider him from a skill and lyricist standpoint to be in the top five.
Me either.
But, like, we have to concede that, like,
he deserves to be.
He is one of the most elite rappers. And it's just his flow and his character he's created. He's funny. He's likable. Drake is arguably the best rapper now. I mean, my opinion, he's not. But people,
he's the most popular.
If you ask people who the best rapper is in the past 8 years, they're going to say Drake. Which I don't think is true.
But
he's elite.
What he's done that's really impressive, like you said, is like he's established this charisma, which is what all these big artists do. But he really infused elements of rap with his pop side.
Yeah.
So the thing about Drake is he becomes versatile and diverse by like having that singing soft side as well as hardcore like rap elements.
And people think
it's really impressive.
Right.
Probably more impressive than it is, but it obviously works, like you were saying.
And I don't think he's a sellout too. Like I there are certain rappers where I'm like, okay, you're just writing a pop song, like. Okay, like Ray Shremmerd, right? Everyone's like, oh, all 10 of their songs on Shrem Life is so good. You know, a rapper has had all successful songs.
Who are you imitating?
Everyone. But Shrem Life is bad. And I don't think it's even well produced. Like, I don't think there's anything good.
Yeah.
It's just pop music. It's like, if you like, whatever, people eat that up. But Drake, I don't think Drake's a sellout. I think Drake knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, which... You can argue.
It's admirable.
You can argue if it's admirable or not, because sometimes he's not attacking. He's going towards a certain market, and like,
yeah,
I don't know.
But I think that's market is him. It's not like a conscious like. I think he's being himself. I don't think that he's appealing to be popular.
That's also that's also a hot take technically, just because a lot of the stuff can be cheesy.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing is, there's a couple hidden gems in every album that make him like that.
Oh, my God. One of my favorite rap songs of all time is a Drake song.
Yeah, You and the Six, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song's amazing.
It's pretty good. Anyway, here's one of the songs that Steven and I enjoyed off of his rather mediocre playlist.
Cleansing my soul of addiction for now, cause I'm falling apart. Yeah, tension between us just like picket fences. You got issues that I won't mention for now, cause we're falling apart. Passion
smashing it from miles away. Passive with the things you say. Passing up on my old ways. I can't blame you, no. No. Passionate from miles away. Passive with the things you say. Passing up on my old ways. I can't blame you, no. From a distance, I think we should rule out commitment for now, 'cause we're falling apart. Leaving, you're just doing that to get even. Don't pick up the pieces, just leave it for now. They keep falling apart. Passionate from miles away. Passive with the things you say. Passing up on my old ways. I can't blame you, no. No. Passionate from miles away. Passive with the things you say. Passing up on my old ways. I can't blame you, no.
Drake, that was good. Drake's the most like rapper.
You just were talking so well about him.
I was. It's because like, I don't know. He makes such good songs and then like such sellouts, but he's good. Like, it's so hard to explain. When you think of the four.
Which is what you're saying. Like, he'll be honest with himself, and then sometimes he will just do things for commercial success.
But he's hype, though. Like, every rapper has a hype song. Like, J. Cole, who I think is elite, has a hype song. Although, J. Cole is getting ripped now, by the way.
People like you are like, the reason he's getting ripped on.
Why? Because like, it's like his entire fan base is white.
It's, no, not that. Not that. It's that just, was odd. His fan base exaggerates his ability to, like, articulate struggles, and like he does it in a I think the problem is he does it in a really strong way, but it's more cheesy and more corny than like people like Kendrick. So people are like, why do you think he's the best at like relating with people? Why is he like the people's rapper? That's why people get angry.
And
he's good at it, but his fans think he's the best at it. That's why people
that's
freak.
True. Okay, so he has the most hated fan base now, and I'm a part of that fan base. But
yeah,
okay, I think Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper in the world.
Agreed.
He's my second favorite rapper, but he's the best. I'm giving him the title, so it's undisputed.
Yeah. So you're a good J. Cole fan.
I'm a strong J. Cole fan because I think that your ability, your like how you're judged on rapping about the struggle is if you have gone through the struggle and then can rap about it. Like, I don't think that there's any exaggeration. Like, I get J. Cole fans like, J. Cole is the best rapper ever. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not, but he's good. He's really, 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 really good. And I think he's getting really misrepresented. I know that people consider him elite. He's one of the four current elite rap.
He should be, like, considered that, but then obviously people who get angry at J. Cole fans then shun J. Cole entirely. Right.
And you know what's weird? You know what contingent, like, what people hate J. Cole the most are the mumble rap fans. So everyone respects Kendrick, whether you like Lil Yachty or not. Everyone respects Drake and Kanye, whether you like Lil Yachty or not. Everyone respects Chance. Chance is the most likable rapper.
I think Chance just took J. Cole's spot, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. In that realm. I hate to say it, but you're right. But everyone on the, like, Lil Yachty, like Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky's definitely not in there. Yeah, he is. That mumble rap?
Oh, I know he's not a mumble rapper. Comedy but rap. He's part of that group now.
I think what you mean is like trap oriented.
Okay, fine. Like Lil Uzi Vert, like those guys.
Sure.
Their squad.
They don't like J. Cole?
Their fans do not like J. Cole because they're like, it's like a joke. It's like a one long run joke. And honestly, J. Cole's last album was good. People trash it. You trashed it too, right?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was pretty average.
Pretty good.
I thought it was okay.
Okay.
He's not bad. That's the thing. He's never been bad. But people think...
But then
people who don't like J. Cole fans say he's bad.
I'm sorry, Pierce. He's better than not bad. Like...
Yeah.
For Your Eyes That's Only fine. Was decent.
I accept it.
Forest Hills Drive's double platinum, no features.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
It's like Born Sinner is amazing.
I like Born Sinner. I was a big Born Sinner.
Born Sinner is amazing.
Yeah, he's good.
And then Cole World is horrible. Like
it's a different.
It's different. He evolved.
I think what you were saying, like, oh, is it a problem that he has only white fans? I think what really is happening is like his struggle and his ability to talk about it and cope with it is kind of accepted by a community or a lot of people in a community that didn't go through that struggle, which is why people hate on him. Like, you know what I mean?
Phony,
same thing happened with Odd Future. It's weird. Like, these punk, angsty, like, white teens needed something to be angry about. It's, like, a different audience than what they actually were and what they were going through.
Yeah, but it's a different type of angsty. Like, Odd Future fans were, like, rich white kids that were, like, really, like, anarchists. They're just, like, rich white kids who, like, wore Supreme.
And trying to shove each other at, like, concerts
to, like,
somewhere.
Beat the life out of each other at concerts in like LA or New York. Like, okay, you're like Odd Future if you live on a coast. Like, if you live in a city and you wear clothing from Zumiez. Like, I hate to stereotype the Odd Future fan, but I'm right.
It was very stereotypical.
So I don't know. All right, let's change it up. We've
got a couple more songs.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is good though. This is a good conversation.
Yeah, no,
we're
it's
dissecting
fine.
The rap world.
We're done with rap, unfortunately. Oh. We have three new songs. Still,
wait, we're gonna end our show, by the way, by talking about Kendrick's new song.
Okay, so okay, we'll fine. Have two or three more songs, and then we're gonna finish off talking about Kendrick. We might not be able to play it because there was never a good clean version we could find. There is one on YouTube, but it's very weird. So we might just talk about his new song, which happens to introduce his new album. But anyway, new song I'm gonna play is by one of the two members of Black Keys, Dan Auerbach. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He has a solo career, and he just released a new song for the first time in a while, and I think you're a Black Keys fan, right?
Ish.
Me too. I'm very iffy about Black Keys.
They're like the same one trick pony. It's like the same thing. Every song.
Here's a hot take. I can say a tiny bit. You're gonna freak out immediately when I say this, but let me explain it.
Yeah.
I can say the same thing a tiny bit about Vampire Weekend, but they're both like revolutionary in their sound. So you have to respect the sound that they made.
Vampire Weekend is not one trick pony. You have to sing that because his voice is so
I'm sorry. I meant like, okay, whatever.
No, anyway. Fine. Stick to your word. You mean what you say and you say what
but,
you mean.
But I think Vampire Weekend's good though. Black Keys have stuck with their sound. This song does sound a little bit different. So let's see what you think.
Okay.
Trying to drive insane.
This literally sounds like the Beach Boys.
Said shine on me enough.
Shine on me.
Steven.
Yeah.
Roast this man. Roast this man.
Dan, I'm writing you a letter.
Do it.
Exclaiming to you.
Do it.
How horrible this 1960s California surf beach-esque Beach Boys.
Mixed with Black Keys.
Mixed with Black Keys. This sounds like a opening song to an Adam Sandler movie. This is awful.
Yes, that's exactly. It was on the tip of my tongue. Like, this sounds like a grown movie trailer.
Like, it's Grown Ups, right? Like, it's like one of those.
The boys are coming back to town.
China.
Oh man, there's a crocodile on my arm.
Like, Corvettes. Like, it's horrible. Like, it's.
But you're not Adam Sandler.
Egregious. Just like every Adam Sandler movie.
That's
this
so funny.
Is bad.
That's so funny.
This is so bad.
That's so funny. I'm angry because I think he did a bad job on Cage the Elephant's fourth album.
He ruined them.
Producing it.
He is horrible.
So I'm never a fan of him.
Like he's
he was important
than-
like 10 years ago, and now he just...
Sure, because it was a novel thing.
Yeah.
Novelty is fine.
Yeah.
Even if novelty... Like, I personally think that if something is novel but it's bad, it's bad. Like, if you create this new genre, but it's like... But there's not a lot to it. Or it's just not good, then you're still not good. You might be novel, but you're not good. He's bad. And there's no, like, dynamics. That song was, like, a movie song from the 80s. Like, that could be, like, Ferris Bueller when they're driving off after he picks him up from school. Like, you know?
Like summer
it's
camp.
Just so...
It's very basic. It was one of the more basic songs I've heard.
It was terrible.
All right. We got one more song.
Oh, my God. You should quit.
You weren't here when we talked about the new Alt-J song, but what we talked about was that Alt-J has done this thing from their first album that they're getting more and more quiet. The first album was more upbeat, they're experimental and cool because they really created this new sound. Second album was a little bit mixed reviews because it got softer. This new single that they released, 3WW, I'm going to call it, it's 3WW, the softest song they've ever released. But they just came out with this song, I think yesterday, which will be on their new album. and it sounds more like their older stuff. So let's see what you think. Yeah, does it sound better than their old stuff? Does it just sound like a weak attempt at sounding like the same stuff?
0-1-1-1-0-0-1-1 Crying zeros and I'm hearing 1-1-1 Cut my summer soaps on my backflip. Oh, summer, summer, poor, poor summer. Here's me.
In Cold Blood by Alt-J. So, what did you think? I guess the best way to do is, how would you compare it to their original two, or, I mean, previous two albums?
Well, it's more similar to the first album. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
And the concept that defines Alt-J is there. So, they're adding noise, taking noise away. They were cool because they did this thing where it was like sounds on sounds. They're all about like adding and subtracting layers.
Yeah.
And they're very dynamic, which makes them good because their like voices match the like how loud like the certain instruments that they'll add onto the song get. So they're good. I don't think the song was like right there with Freeze Blocks and with songs like that, like Hunger the Pine and those songs.
Which was on the second album.
Oh,
right?
Hunger the Pine was on the second album? I thought it was on the first
I think
album.
So.
No, I don't think so.
Well, we're not going to spend time to look it up.
No.
It's fine.
Well, I am.
No, because you got to keep going. What were you... Conclude. Okay. Conclude just what you're saying. Because I'm curious.
What I'm saying by saying that it's like the first album, but... you're right. It's on the second album. Like the first album, but...
Wow,
it's not the same quality as Tessellate. or Matilda Dissolve Me or songs like that, or Fitz Pleasure.
I thought it sounded like Fitz Pleasure. It gave me a, I got a very similar vibe. Because Fitz Pleasure was one of the more energetic and driving songs on that album. And I thought this song was really driving.
It didn't start off well, though. I get, like, it's loud, but, like, it's full.
I liked the part. I agree. The beginning was a bit iffy. I think they could have had a bigger, more enthralling hook. If they, like, as a second single. But this is kind of nice because it's a completely different sound than their first single. This song is different, and they're taking a different step with brass horns, some electronic, some type of at the end. It was cool. It's a little bit different than the first album. And the fact that it blends with their first song that they released, which is so quiet and different, I think they could have a cool album. So I'm actually kind of impressed with it. I don't think I'm going to listen to this song that much again as like much with as much enjoyment, though. You know what I mean? We're like you were saying, Fist Pleasure, Breeze Blocks. Yeah, like, those are good songs. I'll probably listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was good, though. I'm happy they have the energy. It shows that they're, although they're taking a different direction, they're still mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty much it for the songs we're going to play. Unfortunately, we can't play Kendrick's new song.
But we can talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. Let's do it.
Okay.
So, what was your initial thoughts? Let's just give a little quick explanation. Right. Yeah, what did Kendrick do?
Kendrick Lamar released a song called The Heart Part 4. It was like a preview of what will be, I mean, it's one song of an album that he, the last line of The Heart Part 4 said will drop April 7th. It's my birthday.
Gotta get your expletive together.
Yes.
By April 7th.
And Kendrick Lamar is my, is the best rapper.
The greatest rapper alive.
Literally a lyric in his new song.
Yeah.
So you want to know what I thought of the song?
What'd you think of the song?
He's got the throne. He's the best rapper in the game. It was pretty amazing.
Agreed.
Literally, it was so good that he rapped essentially in one tone with a couple beat changes, and it was just lyrics with like no chorus, and there were political statements. He shouted out Russell Westbrook. In an allegory to Donald Trump and racism, so it was political. He like kind of mirrored the presidency and electoral votes in a way
memorial
towards
votes.
Like right
electoral votes turn into memorial votes.
It's like in so many ways, so many layers.
And it's cool because it's everything is a glimpse.
Yeah,
you know, because like you said, it's like a preview.
Oh, it's like a pilot. Like, oh, it's God, like the first episode. Into? If you watch the first episode of Breaking Bad, you're like, okay, good, good, good. And then poof, you're like, wow, this will be a show. And then it's one of the best shows.
Yeah, this is like almost like a detailed trailer / pilot.
Oh, it's like a thorough, completely. And, oh my God, Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper of all time. I cannot wait for this album to come out and just prove it. Like, you know how when you have doubts about certain people's albums coming out, like, oh, like, Cage Elephant's gonna be produced by exactly.
This album the guy we just roasted.
This album might suck, right?
Yeah, there's some worries.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, I mean, I wasn't a fan before Good Kid, Mad City came out. I was a fan when and after Good Kid. Like when Good Kid, Mad City came out, I was like, oh, who's this Kendrick guy? Swimming Pools, and I was like, oh my God, wait, this is the most complicated, amazing rapper of all time. Yeah. When To Pimp a Butterfly was like, when we heard Black or the Berry and I.
Mm-hmm.
Like there wasn't a doubt
that the album's gonna be
that
good.
The album was gonna be the album was gonna be bad.
Okay,
like, we all
thought. So I see where you're coming.
No, we're saying sorry, that the album was gonna be good. Like we didn't think it would be bad. We knew it was gonna be
exactly
good.
Yeah. And you feel the same after this?
Oh,
song.
Completely.
Yeah,
it's like it's. Oh, he's just the best. I don't know. Like his flow is the best. He's the lyricist.
Yeah.
His rhymes are complicated. It's not just A, B, A, B. It's like everything's like internally rhymed and externally rhymed.
That's what he does.
It's super politically loaded. I mean, I've been talking a lot. Give me your take on the song. Full agreement?
Like, I pretty much entirely agree. I think the cool thing was that, like you said, his flow just kept going and the beat changed throughout. So I feel like this is more of a trailer, and I wouldn't be surprised if this song just like weren't on the album and it was just like a preview about what his album is going to entail, because it did go all over the place.
Yeah,
whereas I and Black of the Berry were
completely in their own elements.
They were like, full, like this was like a statement.
Yeah, it's cool. Instead of just posting on your Instagram a couple of sentences like, I worked really hard on this and we're excited to release it, he released this, I think that's what it is.
It's like it's better than any Drake song, like any album Drake song.
Or any Drake post.
Or any Drake post or anything.
Yeah, so I am fully ready for this album. The only thing that I'm thinking now is like, how is he going to release another perfect album? How is he going to release a perfect album when he already did it? So like,
I'll just do it.
It's cool.
It's called being the Picasso. Like, he's like the Michelangelo of rap. He's the best rapper.
Yeah. I'm going to try not to compare it to Pimp a Butterfly and just enjoy it for what it is.
No, on April 7th on my birthday, I will lie down in my bed and just play the entire thing and stare at my Tapimba Butterfly. I have a Tapimba Butterfly.
Yeah, he has it hanging up in his room. Forgot. Mad respect.
He's just like... Look, Kendrick Lamar isn't a hype man. Like, he doesn't need all the advertisement. He doesn't need the flashy things, the big parties. He's not friends with everyone. He doesn't have, like, a squad. It's not like YMCMB. Like, there's no, like...
But he does have TDE.
Yeah, but
they're all low-key.
But they're low-key.
Except for Schoolboy.
Right. Yeah, Schoolboy Q. He's not like, you know, people will post, like you said, post flashy Instagrams and
he doesn't do anything anymore.
Shout people out or like this or that. He is just like,
he and Frank Ocean.
Oh yeah.
Strive through the mystery.
Oh, and then they produce things that are like,
yeah.
I'm so excited to finally win every argument over who's the best rapper. Because to me, it's just
the confidence.
He's the best. I'm sorry, Nas. I'm sorry, Biggie. I'm sorry, Tupac. I'm sorry,
Jay-Z. Eminem.
Fine. Jay-Z's considered, but not in my opinion. Kanye. Kanye is great. I think Kanye is great. Obviously, he's going through a tough time, but I think Kanye is great. But Kendrick's the best. Sorry, everyone else.
Let's close it from there.
Yeah.
On that nice subjective hot take.
Yeah.
Which sweet. I happen to agree with in the most part. So this has been good. This is Pierce Devlin.
Stephen Honig.
You're listening to Subjectively Objective on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts, Freeform Radio. See you guys.